mothers. Hope you have a great day. I know Sylvia is having a great day. This morning, Aaron called Julie and talked to him. She's having a great day. And the dogs gave her a fit this morning, so, you know, it's a good day. Just a couple of things. Russell, thanks for the music this morning. Appreciate it. Secondly, this week also, next Sunday is our quarterly meeting. So, folks, remember that. And the board meeting is supposed to be on Thursday with the venue to be announced. All right? So stay up with your internet. All right. Mother's Day. Last week, Matt gave a testimony of his experiences with the Lord, and he inspired me. Matt's always inspiring me. But he inspired me as he told a story of the time that when he was kind of away from the Lord, there was a time he just walked away, and he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Things weren't going real well. And he said there was a group of people, his mom, and some ladies that were praying for him. And when he said that, I went, aha, I'm going to go that way on Mother's Day. So his mom and some ladies were praying for him. And as they were praying, you know, I don't know if you know, well, you do know about moms. Moms, when they're holding on to something, they don't let go. Particularly when it's their children, they hold on. They will not quit. They will not stop. They will not turn loose. They keep holding on. And I think Matt said sometimes to us dads, you know, we're hopeless. And particularly when a mom or a grandmom is praying for you, they don't quit. They just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And you know, I really thank God for that. I had a Christian mom. In her own quiet way and demeanor, she influenced me with just a very few words. And I'm sure, I haven't heard stories or anything because she was so quiet about it, but I'm sure she's prayed for me a lot. But is this a unique situation? Well, I don't think it is, because all of us know of stories of moms who have prayed for their children. Now, let me just say this as a disclaimer. Perhaps you had a mom that didn't leave a Christian testimony. Perhaps it was your dad that presented the Christian testimony. Well, thank the good Lord that somebody in your family did. Now, if you had both mom and dad, you were one lucky kid to have both parents that were praying for you and leading you in a Christian way. So today, let's just focus a little bit on mothers. And I wanted to get started with some quotes from people that you may recognize. Billy Graham said, "Only God Himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children." We're going to look more at Billy Graham's mother in a few moments. Henry Ward Beecher says, God pardons like a mother who kisses the offense into everlasting forgiveness. Aren't you glad of that? He said this as well, the mother's heart is the child's schoolroom. George Washington said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. The first president of the United States. Jose Ballou said, education commences at the mother's knee, and every word spoken within hearsay of little children tends towards the formation of their character. So ladies, being a mother is so very important. Martin Luther weighed in on the subject in his eloquent way. This is what he said. When Eve was brought into Adam, he became filled with the Holy Spirit and gave her the most sanctified, the most glorious of appellations. He called her Eve, that is to say, the mother of all. He did not style her as wife, but simply mother, mother of all living creatures. In this consists the glory and the most precious ornament of woman, mother. Wow. And just a couple more, I want to go to Billy Sunday. There is more power in a mother's hand than in a king's scepter. We all heard the comment, you know, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I know one thing she rules for sure, and that's the home. Billy Sunday also says, I don't believe there's enough devils in hell to pull a boy out of the arms of a godly mother. Wow. And finally from Billy Sunday, there is nothing in the world of art like the songs mothers used to sing. Do you have a mom that sang? Julie was always singing to Aaron. He'd say little tunes that just you know, ring in his head. Now, even the dogs, she sings to the dogs. She does, and they love it, every minute of it, you know. It's probably a good thing that they love her singing because, you know, I've sang a lot in my lifetime, but when I start singing, it scares Milo. I've never had that response to my singing. So, but those songs that mom sings, they're just so powerful. So let's go to the scriptures and see what we can find in scripture about this. You don't have to look too far to find one that everybody expects, and it's the person of Hannah. Hannah, as you know, was childless. And she prayed about not having a child, and she kept praying and kept praying. And finally, things were looking kind of hopeless for her. And she decided that she would become so passionate and so heartfelt and so continuous in her prayer. She went to the temple and she just lay on the floor and began praying. And she prayed so passionately that when people come by and looked at her, they thought she was drunk. She was so entrenched in her prayer that all she could do was just mumble the words. And God blessed her and gave her a son. And that's when Samuel the prophet was born. A mother's prayer. You see, sometimes God requires his kids to get serious in their praying. Sometimes he seems distant and silent, almost as if he is not there. And it's during those times of prayer, mothers, dads, keep this in mind. It's during those times that God seems silent that you just really lean into prayer. It's during those times that you can't quit. You got to keep praying. God will, he will finally move. Jesus tells the story of a woman that exemplifies the tenacity of a woman. And we don't know that she's a mother, but she exemplifies the tenacity that we need to use in our prayer. Let me read in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. We're going to look at the story of a very determined woman. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, which kind of just makes the story flow. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about this people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I love that translation. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. That's called tenacity. Yeah. I like the following verses that gives the explanation. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? No. But sometimes he asks us to, as the old timers would say, prevail in prayer. Grab hold of the horns of the altar and don't turn loose until you have an answer. We have forgotten that in our Christian life today. One of these days I'd like to show the video of the African-American lady who would just pray and pray and pray and God would answer prayer. And I tell you what, you get an African-American holding on to God for you, look out. But you know, I've also heard that about women, moms, and grandmoms who pray. It has been said, if you've got a mom or grandmom who's praying for you, give up. You don't stand a chance. Because they don't turn loose or quit. They keep holding on. Praise God for you ladies who are that tenacious and determined when it comes to prayer. Now for the remaining time today, what I would like to do is look at some stories of people's lives who were changed because of praying mothers. The first one is one of my largest heroes. In the Christian faith, he was a very small, sickly man. His name was Hudson Taylor. And if you know his story, Hudson Taylor was to China to the inland mission, and he went in. And boy, he did some things that most missionaries don't do. He began dressing like the Chinese with a long ponytail. What do you think if I come in here with a long ponytail dressed like a Chinese? But see, that's what he did to identify in his culture, and the English society pushed him aside. He said, I could care less. I'm doing this for God. And he went in and he shared the gospel in China with fantastic results. But it was the prayer of his mother that got him there. Hudson Taylor was born to a young couple who worked hard, but they lived in an impoverished community in Old England. Very young, Hudson was dedicated to the Lord. And when young Hudson heard about his commitment, heard about this commitment because his parents had committed him to work in China as a child, he said no, because he had already taken up work. Hudson's mom was a loving and godly lady who looked after strangers and helped the poor, as people do. But his father, though a Christian, was harsh and strict. When Hudson was just 15, his father said, you need a whole new view of the world. So he forced him to get a job at a bank. So he went in, and this was his first experience at seeing people making fun of Christ and swearing. Guess what young Hudson did? He also started making fun of Christ and swearing because at 15, he just wanted to fit in with the crowd. And because of this, he turned his focus away from his prayer and Bible study and church attendance and stopped doing the things that Christians should be doing. And he started to move away from God as a teenager. It's at this time he also experienced money and the joys that money brings. He became obsessed with making more and more and more money in his light. Towards Christ began to die. And then his eyesight began to fade. And he had to leave the bank. So he went to work with his dad, who was a pharmacist. And as he was working with his dad, remember, his dad was very harsh. His dad was very demanding, which caused Hudson to rebel totally against his family. Hudson Taylor, as a teenage boy, was leaving. But you see, Hudson's mom continued praying for her son, because she knew the only thing that would ever touch him was prayer. She kept praying. One day on a short holiday, she felt compelled to pray harder and more earnest. So she went into her room and began to pray and pray and pray. She locked the room and would not come out. And she spent hours and hours and hours on end praying for her young son, Hudson, that God would give him grace. She believed God would save her son. At this time, young Hudson began to feel troubled. I wonder why. He began to feel troubled, and things weren't going well. And he went into his dad's library looking for something to read. And he looked and he couldn't find anything, and then he found a small volume called Poor Richard. He read his testimony. And when he came to the phrase, the finished work of Christ, it hit Hudson like a ton of bricks. This is real. And anybody with the complete, the work for salvation for me deserves my faith. So he gave his heart to Jesus. As you might expect, when mother and son began comparing notes, it was the exact same time that his mom was praying to when young Hudson gave his heart to the Lord. Matter of fact, Hudson Taylor's mom, as she was praying, there was just a moment when, bang, the light come on. And she switched from praying to praise, because she knew by faith her son was saved. And the reality was, it was that moment when he was saved. Don't tell me that a mother's prayer is not powerful. Mothers, keep that in mind. Dads, keep that in mind. The power of a praying mom. There's another woman by the name of Suzanne Wesley. She raised John and his 9 siblings, 10 children. She raised all 10 children to honor God in the home. It was even saying, with all 10 kids running around and everything, the only time she could find any quiet is she would have to take her apron and just put it over her head for a few moments. And it was at that time, when she was in quiet and solitude, she begins to pray. She would pray for her children. And we know John Wesley, one of the greatest evangelists of his day, one of the greatest songwriters of his day, which we still use some of his songs today. Why? A praying mom. A praying mom. There's another one which we've already heard of, Mary Washington, the mother of George Washington. Mary had a few children, and whenever young George was 10 years old, her husband passed away, so she found herself widowed and a single mom. She raised her children. It wasn't long after that the Revolutionary War started, and young George signed up to go over to the Revolutionary War. And you know, things had to be very hectic, but Mary Washington would find herself going out to a big rock out next to her house, and often find herself just laying on that rock, entreating God for her son. As you know, he survived the Revolutionary War and became a great leader, and he was the first president of the United States of America. Why? A praying mother. There's another woman by the name of Morrow Graham and her husband. Every morning at 10 a.m., Morrow Graham and her husband would join together and pray for their son, Billy Graham. who found himself preaching to over 80 million people from the influence of a praying mom. But the last story that I want to share with you is the story of a young man by the name of Levi. Levi was a young teenager, but he was a petty drug dealer. And the police wanted him off the streets. Levi thought it was just a game. He was smart. He was intelligent. He tricked them. He hid from them. He stayed free, and he kept selling drugs. But the police turned up the pressure. They wanted him off the street. But his mom, Dolores, wanted something else. She began to pray that God would protect him and save his soul. So she prayed. Only trouble is, though his mom would pray and he would feel that tug from the Lord, he so loved the fame and the fortune and the girls that having drugs and money would bring, that all he wanted to do was to become a drug kingpin. But his mother continued praying. Levi later reported that it would make him so angry when his mother would tell you, "I'm praying for you," because every time mom prayed for him, something bad would happen to him. I wonder why. But she prayed. And then Levi, just after she prayed, something did happen. And he was arrested for the second time. And as a 19-year-old young boy, he found himself thrown into prison with a lengthy sentence as a drug runner. But Dolores turned up the heat on her prayer. She not only began to pray that God would save his soul, but she began to pray that God would make him a great man of God. So rather than getting discouraged and turning loose, she turned her expectations up and said, "God, make a great man out of him." She prayed. Levi just, he began to feel the conviction get stronger, and he turned to the Lord and he said, "Lord, there is no way I'm going to repent." He said, "I love my life. I'm enjoying my sin too much. If you get me, you'll have to do it." Things got tough for him in prison. Then his mom prayed. And then one day, Levi found himself talking to some Christian counselors. And guess what happened? Levi gets saved. Why? Because his mom wouldn't stop praying. But he has a lengthy sentence. What is he going to do in prison? His mom prayed. And because of a changed life that little Levi or young Levi had, he had such a good demeanor about him. He had good behavior about him. He was a very quiet man, from a loud, outspoken, tricky teenager to a very quiet, easygoing guy. He was so good that his sentence was reduced. And at 24 years old, Levi finds himself preparing for ministry in a Bible college. Why? Because his mother prayed. Folks, never underestimate the power of a praying mom. You ever found yourself in a hopeless situation, mom? You ever looked at your kids and said, "Oh man, will they ever change?" Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't turn loose. Keep praying. History is filled with lives that have been changed for one reason. It's because mama prayed. So keep praying. Keep praying. Ladies, keep this in mind. You may very well hold the future of your children, both physically and spiritually, in your hands. Keep praying. Keep praying. The most powerful tool that you have, and dads, listen, this, or poppies and granddads, listen to this too. The most powerful tool that we have as Christians is to be found on our knees, latching hold of the promises of God and never, ever turn loose. Keep holding on. In closing today, I would like to share with you just two promises, two things that Jesus said that will encourage us to pray. The first one of this, Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now, I know what happens when you hear that verse because I do the same thing. You say, well, what about? What about? What about? What about this one? What about this one? Push those aside. He said, pray and believe. Hold on to the promises. And I'm sure that there had been moms all over the place that have held on to that one promise. Pray and believe. Pray and believe. Never turn loose. And when it comes to prayer, folks, let's remember that one. But there's a second thing that Jesus said, which is very similar. John 14, verses 13 and 14. He says, whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You ever quoted that one, Mom? Dad, you ever quoted that one? Ladies, I hope you don't mind me including the dads in on this one. You need to know those promises. And when it looks like all hell is breaking loose and the world is going absolutely crazy, cover yourself with these promises. Sink yourself into those promises and don't quit. Keep praying. Keep praying. And God will respond. God will respond. Oh, simply, do you believe those promises? You know what God can do with a bunch of people if they actually believed what He said? Why don't we find out? Think a good idea? Let's just latch hold of those promises and pray for people. And moms, I know you're going to do it for your children. Like I said, my mom was a Christian mom. I'm sure she prayed for me. I heard her at times pray for me. So moms, keep holding on. Dads, keep holding on. Because there's power in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for the power of a praying mom. And down through history, we've already seen so many people who's had their lives influenced and changed because a mom prayed. I thank You for the testimony of my own mom, who in just very few words shaped my life. Father, I thank You for people who know how to pray. And I pray that all of us will become just that way. So, Father, help us to be encouraged from these promises that Jesus has given us, to where we'll just latch hold of those promises and keep praying until You move. And, Father, we know that it will be for Your glory and it will bring honor to the name of Jesus, as He requested. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. I'd like to thank you for being here today. Moms, I hope you have a great day. Hope you can sit back, kick your shoes off, and somebody bring you a cup of tea. And you can relax. So turn around and greet somebody that you haven't seen. And thanks for being here today. Thank you.